Well, as you'll have gathered from the reading, our subject this morning is the parable of the tenants. And I'm sure that many of you are very familiar with this story that Jesus told. So what can I say that might prevent you nodding off? Rather than starting at the beginning, I would like to start at the end of this morning's gospel reading, which we have just heard. In verse 45 of chapter 21, Matthew tells us, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew that he was talking about them. This is an important statement because it tells us two significant things. Firstly, we need to notice that the word parables is plural. And secondly, we are assured that the religious leaders understood very well that Jesus had been talking about them. The use of the plural parables clearly means that we must link this parable to others. So our first task is to identify those other parables and try to understand why Matthew links them together. As always, we need to look at the context in which Jesus has told this and other parables. I think we would all agree that the conversation at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked his 12 special disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter's reply was, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," was a turning point. From now on, Jesus' thoughts run towards Jerusalem and his coming death. He starts an intensive teaching program with them all and gives a glimpse of true glory to three of them at the Mount of Transfiguration. His teaching is not about celebrating God the Father's revelation to Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, but it is about the fact that he must suffer and die and be raised again. It is also about the revolutionary values of the kingdom of God, relating to commitment, reward, forgiveness, priority, and salvation. It is in this context that Jesus has told five parables. The first was the parable of the lost sheep. Over the past 3 weeks, we have heard sermons from Michelle, Michael, and Stephen on the parables of the unforgiving servant, the workers in the vineyard, and the two sons. Today's story of the parable of the tenants is the fifth. We can reasonably suppose then that it is these five parables that Matthew is referring to, and which he tells us the religious leaders knew Jesus was using to talk about them. Obviously, I am not going to repeat what Michelle, Michael, and Stephen have said over the past 3 weeks, but please bear in mind that Matthew saw these parables as being parts of a comprehensive message, and not just random stories illustrating unconnected points. Also, as we look at today's parable, bear in mind that the religious leaders realized its direct significance for them. Let's now turn to our attention to today's parable, the parable of the tenants, Matthew 21, 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. It is interesting to note that Jesus' first words, "Listen to another parable." Clearly, Jesus himself was linking this parable to the last one. It is not a case of Matthew having a fanciful idea of his own. Jesus sets the scene. A landowner plants and fully equips a vineyard and rents out his investment, expecting a return. Verse 34, when the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. It is not difficult to see for us to see the meaning behind the story. The vineyard is Israel, lovingly planted and protected by God, the landowner. The tenants are those who have the care of it whilst the owner is away, that is, the religious leaders. And the servants sent for the fruit are the prophets. The parable then gives us a vivid picture of the tenants' abuse of the servants, not just once but twice, followed by this cynical rejection of the landowner's son, who is thrown out and killed. Verses 35 to 39. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What a prophetic story of what would shortly happen to Jesus in Jerusalem. In verse 40, Jesus invites his listeners to complete the story and asks them a question. "Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those servants?" As you would expect, his audience gives a robust response. Verse 41. "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." I think the religious leaders may have got sucked into Jesus' brilliant storytelling and didn't at that point realize they were condemning themselves. But Jesus made sure they later got the point by quoting from scriptures. "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." This is a direct quotation of Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, which his hearers would have known and recognized immediately. My Bible guide tells me that in Hebrew, the word for stone is similar to that for son. The owner's son, so dreadfully discarded, will turn out to be the keystone of the new Israel that God is building. Jesus then tells them plainly in verse 43, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." It is then in verse 45 that Matthew tells us, "When the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them." Sadly, on realizing this, they didn't change their attitude to Jesus. but rather looked for a way to arrest him. The parable of the tenants isn't hard to understand, but seen as part of Jesus' series of parables and intensive teaching delivered to his disciples, it does present us with a challenge. Just as farming in the literal sense is a full-time occupation, so is bearing good fruit in the spiritual vineyard. And we are not going to achieve it unless we take heed to the far-reaching teaching of Jesus, of which this parable is a part. I mentioned earlier that recognizing Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, was only the start. Jesus confirmed that Peter's understanding in that regard was correct and revealed to him by God the Father. But he then began the intensive teaching about the revolutionary values of the kingdom of God relating to commitment, reward, forgiveness, priority, and that salvation is a gift for all who will believe. Do we want to be part of the new Israel being built by God? Do we want to produce good fruit of the vineyard? Is it our determination to give God his proper due? I hope it is, and may the Lord help us in that endeavour.